Hello and welcome to Why Are We Doing This? My name is Lucas Guzman.
I'm Kathy Wright.
This one was absolutely wild. I didn't think we'd... I thought we'd have a better luck with this after Birdemic. This was it was bad. Yeah. It was almost as bad as Birdemic, but a different flavor kind of bad.
Kind of, a different kind of bad.
Okay. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. We'll do the stuff at the end like we did last week, because I have a lot to say.
Of course you do.
You have a lot to say. We watched Chastity with whole Cher.
Are you doing your re-rating or at the...
That's end? After we do the the little IMDb.
Okay.
I don't remember what episode it was, but it was back when we first came back. It was one of the first few episodes I revealed, and even in the burlesque episode from years ago, I'm a big Cher fan. I'm a very big Cher fan.
You are.
I love Cher. I love disco Cher. That's my favorite Cher. Like, Take Me Home, and I like 80s Cher. I like Cher.
Yes, you do. I don't dislike her, but I don't love her as much as you do.
This was fucking bad. This was really bad. She wasn't necessarily bad.
No.
I think the cards were stacked against her on this one.
No shit.
I think she got dealt a losing hand.
No shit.
So Chastity, 1969. It's rated PG. It is 83 minutes. And here's the description. After bumming across the Southwest, a tough young woman steals a car and runs off to Mexico, where she visits a bordello and is indoctrinated by a lesbian. Full stop. This is incorrect. Okay. Everything with this movie is like, most of my problems with it are the connotations it has. We'll get to the crazy editing choices and the connotations they bring. But this, okay, bumming across the Southwest, yes, this happens. Tough young woman, yes. Steals a car, runs off to Mexico, yes. She does not visit a bordello. She is employed at a bordello. Well, was she? Because...
No, I don't think she was employed. I think she went there...
Maybe visit is the correct...
Right.
Indoctrinated, it has a very negative connotation.
No, I don't think...
She falls in love with a lesbian.
Yeah.
She is at least bisexual.
Right.
And that the movie is very 1969, written by a man, lesbian. It's horrible. Like, it was very icky.
It was icky.
Writer and producer, old Sonny Bono's got his stink all over this. I love Sonny Bono in the Scooby-Doo episode with him and Cher. And that's the first time I ever saw Cher when I was little. And I was like, who is this beautiful goddess before my eyes? And she said, hey, it's me, Cher. Oh. And Kathy's had to put up with that for about 2 hours.
Yes.
My all-star Cher impression. But, like, Sonny's good in that. He's good on in Hairspray. Him and Debbie Harry as Amber's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Von Tussle. But, like, as a writer, whoa. It's bad. It's really bad. It's not even fun bad.
No.
It's bad. Here are our taglines. Oh, shit. These are bad. These are really bad. And there's a lot of them. This is perfect. Top one. She's not just a girl. She's an experience. Damn right. Damn right she's an experience.
Yeah, she's an experience.
How's this one? This is Chastity. She needs men like a gambler needs money, and she throws them away just as fast. Incorrect.
Incorrect.
She does not need men, because we're shown that she's a lesbian. Or, not a lesbian, but she's interested in women.
Right.
Here's this one. Meet Chastity. She picked out her name herself, but not for any reason you might think. So what that basically is saying is she's a whore. Perfect. That's exactly what the women of 1969 needed. A strong female character who who's undermined by being a whore. Like, that's basically what the... Because they keep saying that description, oh, she's a tough young woman, but also she's needs dick. It's disgusting.
Right.
It's a horrible portrayal. How's this one? Pick her up if you dare.
I don't think she needed dick because she, like, never really always told the guys they couldn't do anything.
Well, because we'll get to that. My theory is that she is pre-Eileen Wuornos. Like, she is unwell. No, seriously.
No,
like,
she is because she talks to herself.
She's unwell. Like, it's almost like if it wasn't a shitty 60s movie, it'd be, like, disturbing.
Yes.
Here's this one. A cop out, a dropout, and so far out, she's not just a girl, she's an experience. That is a forerunner for worst tagline of the year. A cop out, a dropout. God, this is... Okay, how's this one? What's wrong with chastity? A lot is wrong with chastity. She has dissociative identity disorder. She has bipolar depression. She needs to be medicated. How's this one? There's never been a woman like chastity. I'm sure there has. Well, there was later Eileen Wuornos. So there's a scene that I would bet money exactly happened to Eileen Wuornos. At the end, Cher's walking down the side of the road crying, and a trucker pulls up and asks if she wants a ride. I bet that's how Eileen Wuornos killed some guy. Like, she's disturbed. And here's the last one, a variation on a great theme. She's not just a girl, she's a whole other thing. Pretty shitty taglines for a pretty shitty movie.
So, hey.
How's our cast? I mean, you wouldn't believe it at first, but there is an Oscar winner in the cast. It's old Cher as Chastity. I didn't realize this. She's credited with the accent on the E.
Oh, really?
Yes, for some reason. Barbara London playing the lesbian Diana Midnight, who sounds like she does dabble in lesbian porn. Steve Whittaker as Eddie. Tom Nolan as Tommy. Who was Tommy? Oh, shit. Tommy was
the kid in
the whorehouse.
She called it a cat house.
She calls it a cat house, but that was not a... That was a whorehouse. Oh. That was... Three double-wide trailers stacked on top of each other where varying degrees of attractive prostitutes had sex with men for $5. That was a depressing... It turns into, like, almost like a David Lynch shock where, like, the first half of the movie is so unordinary and, like, very, like... It almost seems like it's on purpose where it's so, like, meandering and, like, putsy, and then we get to, like, we're in a whorehouse, and this lesbian's pimp-slapping people, and Cher's sucking a guy off for $5, and, like, it turns into, like, you know, the seedy underbelly of the 60s, but what it really is absolute shit. Because it immediately goes back to that cutesy-poo fucking twiddling my thumbs. I think about flowers, and, like...
Do they cry? When you pick them?
It was just embarrassing for everyone involved. Danny Zapian as Pimp. Oh. Illustrious credit. I hope to once have on my IMDb. My favorite name in the cast, Elmer Valentine as the first trucker. Elmer Valentine, I wouldn't be surprised. It was like a honky-tonk singer, you know, working with Dick Curlis in Branson.
I don't think they had Branson back then.
In the 60s? Oh, all the stars who are in Branson now were not washed up yet.
Right.
Yeah. Burke Rind as the salesman. I don't remember who that was.
Was it the guy maybe in the car?
Was that pervert in the car?
That's what I'm thinking.
Richard Armstrong as husband. Oh, I remember husband. You remember when Cher gets the phone and she's like, hey... she says, do you want to have sex with my sister?
Oh, okay.
Autumn, who I would bet money is a porn star, as prostitute. I think she's the one who gets slapped. Joe Light as the MC. Dolly Hunt as the lady in church, and Jason Clark as the second truck driver. You could tell me Jason Clark was also a serial killer who targeted sex workers along, like, a highway in Oklahoma, and I'd also believe you. That man looks horrifying. The guy at the end looks like he strangles prostitutes. okay, let's get to some trivia. Oh, this is rough. This first one is rough. Sonny and Cher sold off all their belongings to finance the film.
Oh, give me a
Sonny recalled that after they completed shooting, the couple returned to their Hollywood mansion, which was completely empty.
Oh, waste of money.
Here, this one's good. In an interview with VH1 in the late 90s, Cher recalled, and I quote, I won't do the voice because I can't do it for long periods of time.
Thank you.
Sonny once wrote a very good script, very different from what we filmed. But once he realized his wife was going to play these strong scenes, he changed his mind and softened what we had. So was it even more hardcore? Because
that's what I'm thinking.
Was it like she was more nude scenes? Because we get some Cher nude scenes that my receipt. I'd like to return.
I wish I didn't see that.
No. Uh-uh. Here we go. This one I don't like.
What?
This is icky. Chaz Bono was conceived during the making of this film and named for it. Yikes. And that's all the interesting trivia, because I think you and I are the only people who've seen this. Let's get to some user reviews. Let's see if there's a 10-star.
Well, somebody had...
There is. Oh, my God.
Somebody had to watch it if there's reviews.
Okay.
There is a 10-star review?
There's three. This one is from 2004, entitled, A Story About Life and the Importance to Be Loved. I think this movie didn't receive the success it deserved. Chastity, written and produced by Sonny Bono, is a beautiful story about a helpless girl who's ready to do anything, even if she doesn't like it, to have a minimum of attention and love. Okay, we can see that they didn't get a lot of money to do this picture, and can be a good thing because they did a very good movie. Cher, in her movie debut, her spelt with an E, is absolutely perfect in the role of Chastity. Not surprised that she got an Oscar 18 years later. She's an excellent actress and still is. If you want to have a great moment and think a little about the questions of life, watch this movie. It worth it. Really.
It worth it?
Yep. The it DVD. Worth it? Yep. It worth it. The DVD features a teaser trailer only. The English, French, and Spanish subtitles are available, and it has both full screen and widescreen. Take note. And I'll read the other short one, because the other one's long. This one's from 1999. No doubts. A gay guy checked this out after Get and Believe on CD. Trust and Believe, and I'd be in the same boat. I listened to Cher all in winter because I was sad, and I was on Letterboxd, and I was looking at her, I, like, pressed on her thing under, oh my god. I pressed on her name under Moonstruck just to, like, look at her filmography, and I sorted it by, least... worst reviews, and this and Targets popped up, and we're definitely going to watch, I think it's called Target, or it has a stupid fucking name, but I was like, what is this movie? She's a lesbian? So I had to throw this on, but yeah, this is from 99, which is when Believe album came out, so I am sure that this was a find after this. This is it. The legendary dramatic debut of Cher. She's an angry, rebellious teenage runaway hitchhiker. She has decidedly different views on sex. She won't give it up to the truck driver who picks her up, but ends up working as a prostitute in Mexico. I won't give away the emotional ending of the movie, but it explains her reasonings for doing all that she does. You may hate her at the beginning, but by the end, your heart is breaking. I never hated her. I knew from the
beginning. I never hated her, and guess what? My heart wasn't breaking.
I actually did feel sad at the end. Because, like, I was, like, I was being hyperbolic, like, oh my god, she's like Eileen Wuornos, but like, she literally is. Like, she was sexually abused, and...
Spoiler.
So yeah, the spoiler, also, if that's like a... Because it's not like it's, like, prominently featured or graphic, but it, right. it's a definite undertone, and, like, everything she does revolves around that.
Right.
So if that's... I'd steer clear away from this movie for a multitude of reasons, but if you have, like... If you're sensitive to that topic, then I would stay away from this one. Because it does get pretty heavy at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, even for a bad Cher movie. But it gets pretty... Yeah. Okay, I won't read this, but the title of the top review for this is hilarious. Sonny and Cher's Easy Rider. I wouldn't go that far, but it definitely was crazy. What did you give this for a pre-rating?
Zero.
So did I. No expectations, and you know what? It just, they went down. Everywhere we could have gone correct.
If you should have went right, you went left.
Same with Bat People, the Bat Person. Pardon me. I know how Batman, that triggers you.
Batman or what?
But.
It was just like.
She still gets pissed about this.
Well, didn't they call it Batman?
The Bat People.
The Bat People. There was one fucking person. Called people. Person.
Well,
the
listen.
Bat Person.
You know what? Shit. I don't know.
You definitely wouldn't want me working at the studio if you were naming movies.
Oh, yeah. They, like, open, like, a little cubicle door, and you're just sitting there with your arms crossed, and like, we're thinking of calling it this. That's bullshit! That doesn't make any fucking sense!
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so we open up on Cher running.
Watch a movie and then say... How in the fuck did they get the title of that movie?
I did. I was telling you that this... before we started recording, I was like, oh my god, this movie broke my good movie streak. I was on like a streak of like four really like good movies I watched. And the one I watched The Tall T, which is a Western with Randolph Scott. Still don't know what a fucking tall T is. Seriously, if you watch the movie, there is no reference to any...
Was the name of the ranch or anything?
No. Have you seen it?
No.
No spoilers, but context. Randolph Scott is an old man. He was also Cary Grant's boyfriend. You know that?
No.
That's so interesting. That's a different time and place to talk about that. But he is like...
Maybe one day we'll do a show of all the scandalous things in Hollywood.
Yes.
Because there's lots of them.
He's like a rancher, and he rides into town to like talk to another rancher to buy a bull from him. And then he goes back, and he stops at the stage thing because he's friends with the guy who owns the stage like rest stop. And he promised this guy's son that he'd buy him candy in town. So he comes back to give him the candy. But the state, it's like empty. Except for the most villainous man in all of Westerns, Richard Boone.
Ooh, yeah, he always played villainous.
He's my favorite villain.
Because he's got that, like, that look on it.
He's like if Lee Van Cleef's older brother was more evil.
He's got that face.
He's got that Lee Van Cleef face.
Yeah, he never played good guys.
Never.
Either. But never. He's got that face.
He looks like he could, you know, eat a bullet for breakfast. And he's killed the stage guy and his son. And he's taking them hostage, Randolph Scott and this rich couple. But the entire time, they're either at the stage place or at the outlaw hideout. Never once if I heard a T. I don't know if, like, a tall T is, like, a tall Texan, a tall, like, ranch. I don't know if a T is, like, what you call, like, a ranch hand. Like, I don't know. But the movie was good, and I'm just sitting at the end. It was, like, a short movie, too. It was, like, 75 minutes. And I was like, the fuck is a T? Because Randolph Scott is tall, and he's very, like, you know, but tall T, I don't know. This movie does have a perfectly apt title, because you could play a very good drinking game and get shithoused by minute 15 if you, like, drink every time someone says chastity. Because Cher says it about 56 times. Okay, my biggest gripe with the movie... What was your biggest gripe with the movie?
That she talks to herself like...
Like a fucking crazy person?
Or chastity. What do you, like... we're like, it's like, that's not her name. It's like, who in the fuck you talking to?
It's almost like in 50 Shades when, like, the Anastasia's mind talks to her, and it's so fucking hokey. It's the same way in this. My biggest gripe with this, like you, is the writing. It's very, very bad. It is very, very, very bad. Like,
okay, so, you know, like, sometimes I talk to myself in my head.
Yeah.
But I sure don't go, hey, Kathy, like, what the fuck you doing now?
Like, I'm not, yeah, I'm not walking down the street like, Lucas, what is that leaf? Like, she yeah, does shit like that.
Like that. Oh, does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Oh, look, this works. I mean.
She's like if Forrest Gump and Eileen Wuornos had a baby. She's, there's one scene where it's straight, it's like what an alien would do when someone's
Your name's Forrest, too?
Yeah, like, crazy shit like that. Like, she runs around in this guy's apartment, turns on all his lights and his taps, and, like, just checking if they're working. And, like, if this was actually a competently done movie.
First of all, if I ever brought any, if I was a guy picking up a chick and she came in my house, and I would be calling the fucking police or kicking her ass out. Like,
oh my God, I would literally call the police and be like, have you had any murders in town recently?
There's a fucking crazy, is you had an escape from the asylum? Because she's in the house.
Has the sanitarium had any breaches? Because I think there's literally the craziest person I've ever met. And she's crazy.
But he's like, likes her.
I don't even think he likes. No, he. You have to like someone a lot to not kick him out after that shit.
The whole thing was weird. Like, oh, what's good to eat in this restaurant? Not much. Well, oh, the steak and eggs. Well, if nothing's good, but you're going to tell her to eat steak and eggs? Come on.
Oh, I'm going to literally shit my brains out if the steak is bad. Or is that just me? But, like, I'm not. I would never get steak from, like, anywhere but, like, a reputed steakhouse. Like, I won't even get steak at, like, a Texas Roadhouse. Because the people making that steak are fucking 16-year-olds. Like, I'm... Seriously, they have people in high school making steaks. Like, I'm not eating that. Like, I don't trust it. And, she's at this shitty diner with wood-paneled walls, drinking coffee that looks like motor oil. And she's like, yeah, I'll have the steak and eggs. Like, are you serious?
I don't know.
Eating, like, food that is... Like, people have allergies to steak and eggs. Like, allergies to steak. But, like,
they have,
that's what? Food that can be very bad for you if it's not cooked correctly.
Oh, like, they put the little things on cooked food.
What?
Well, they put on the menu if you ordered, like, over easy eggs or that, or really rare meat.
Do you think they had that in 1968?
Probably not.
Like, in 1968... People were still probably spilling coffee on them and not knowing that it was hot.
No, I'm not sure that wasn't true, but,
maybe some of these fucking
people. I don't know. Probably in 1968, I didn't go out to eat very often. The only time I went out to eat is if I went with my aunt and uncle.
Not after that tragedy.
What tragedy?
I'm just joshing you.
I was going to say, what tragedy? No, my mom, we didn't go out to eat with my mom because she didn't have the money.
No. Also, I don't think she'd want to take... Well, no, she probably had money to take one person out to eat, her, or her and somebody else, but, like, you had, like, four brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Like,
so.
A single mom,
well, she took me and Uncle Walter out one time, so there were three of us.
Oh, okay. One time.
Well, the thing is, she didn't have a lot of money.
No, she was a barmaid.
Right, with five kids, so, no, but we went out to eat with my aunt and uncle.
Yes, because they were wealthy.
Yes.
Yeah, they're, like, Michigan wealthy. Did they have a lake house?
No, I think...
Is that, like, new Michigan wealthy?
That's new wealthy. Because, like, I think... I love Aunt Dolores, but she was kind of prissy.
Yeah, hold on. this is a familial episode right now. Hold on.
So she was kind of prissy, so I don't think she would want to be by water because that means, ooh, you got stuff on your feet and you brought them out. Oh, no.
This whole movie did have the same segueing from that into this movie, and I actually have a good segue. This whole movie smells like sandy feet. Like, this is just a weird, like, icky, like... Wet sand movie.
Sonny was jerking off the whole time.
Oh my God, he was
Or something.
No, he was.
Or maybe he's doing more since she got pregnant. But it's like, dude, you should not.
Well, the thing is with the writing, it's written, the dialogue is written like a book, and the, like, I don't know how he wrote, action in it, so, like, I can't, like, pick on that, but the dialogue and the, like, the editing's good, but it's not what it's supposed to be, and we'll get to that, but the script is written like prose, it's written like it should be a play, and that makes double sense because her narration to herself is just soliloquies, which, like, that's, like, Shakespearean. Like,
right.
She just is in the scene but can turn to talk to the audience. And, like, do I think this should be adapted for the stage? Yes. Do I think Cher should be in it on the stage as the lesbian? Yes. But they, I mean, it's really does not translate, especially for a low-budget film, and there's nothing against a low budget film, and there's, like that reviewer said, there's tons you can do with the low budget. Yep. John Waters proved it. You can do anything you want with a low budget and still make a movie that's released by the Criterion Collection 50 years later. But man, it didn't work. It really didn't work. So it opens up with Cher running, tits swinging. Like, I don't know what she was doing.
Running.
No, like, they were pendulous.
Well, if you don't wear a bra.
Oh, yeah, she didn't have a bra.
Yeah, if you don't wear a bra.
Because sometimes you don't tell, and then in some scenes she has blasted nipples.
Yeah, well, they kind of flap in the breeze if you don't wear a bra.
I forgot she wasn't wearing a bra.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it easier. Do you think that she was a prostitute before the events of this movie?
No.
You don't think so? I think she was.
You think she was?
I think she was a lot lizard. Not like full-fledged lot lizard, but like...
Maybe.
Young lot lizard. Lot gecko. Because I don't know if she would be as hip...
To going into a cat house?
I mean, do what you want, Cher. But I don't think she would be as like... Not worldly, but, like, she went in there, she was like, okay, bing, bang, boom, wash yourself up.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not sleeping with a dirty John. Like, she was very, like, you know, like, I got a job here. Oh. It was.
Now you're sounding like the Godfather.
Oh. No, I was, Moonstruck Cher. Before I was Burlesque Cher.
Okay. Hey!
Now I'm... I wish I could snap out of it and not see this movie. Honestly, it was only 83 minutes. A blessing.
A blessing.
Thank you, little baby Jesus. But I don't know if...
Sunny for not being that.
Honestly, I think... I bet this was a recut. I bet he had a longer cut. Because there's things in here that, like, I don't want it to be longer. But I need some more context rather than distorted voiceover. So, okay. She's running down the road. No bra. She's very...
Well, we have to say they did not spend a lot of money on costumes. She wore the same thing the whole time. Other than when she changed her clothes with the whorehouse.
Yes. But let me say this. Cher... is objectively too attractive for every single person in this movie. Circa 1969 Cher, like, long hair, like, she is, like, no makeup, like, not no makeup, but, like, basically just, like, lipstick and eyeliner and, like, bougie clothes. Like, she's objectively the prettiest person in the movie. And it's very... It's a lot like, what was the one we watched? Zachariah with that ugly lady.
Oh, yeah.
Who played the love interest. Like, it's just, it takes you out of it for a second. Because I'm like, why is she with this fucking schlub?
Right.
Like, Eddie, or Andre, was very nondescript. And the lesbian character, we're calling her the lesbian because that's basically what her character is. She doesn't even have a name. Her name's only on IMDb. She never is called by her name.
Oh, no, she's not.
She's never referred to as a name. She's just the lesbian. Diana dresses like Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote, wears her hair like Partridge Family, and looks like Glynis Johns from... And that's no offense. Dearly departed Glynis Johns looks like Glynis Johns. Not is very...
attractive.
I'm sure Glynis Johns was attractive in 1942 when she was...
But the, I think the way they dressed her and her hair...
They the wardrobe fucked her. Like, they really...
They did not make her attractive at all.
And it genuinely takes you out because you're like, this is like 23-year-old Cher. She could literally have any single celebrity to... ever. She could have, you know, who's hot in the 60s? Like, she could have Warren Beatty. She could have... She could have Clint Eastwood. She could have Julie Christie. She could have, like, I'm thinking, like, any hot people. Like, Marlena Dietrich. She could have...
I guess Elvis was pretty cute in the 60s. Some people thought he was cute.
But you know what I mean? Like, she could have anybody, and she's with this guy, and what's her face? Like, no. So I was sitting there, arms crossed, the whole time, just like...
Well, sometimes really attractive people pick ugly people.
Like Christie Brinkley.
Yes.
Oh, poor Christie Brinkley.
Well, her one husband was good-looking.
And then the other one was, you know, the life-drawing version of Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc. The little green guy with the eye. Yeah, the other one is Billy Joel. Ugh, God, that man.
Well, her first boyfriend that died in that was a racer and died, he was nice looking.
Oh, and that tragedy.
Yeah. And then she hooked up with Billy.
What a fucking rebound. Jesus. That's definitely a depression rebound. Okay.
Maybe he's a really nice guy.
I doubt it.
Possibility.
She's running. Her. She's running. And she, like, it's raining later. Because she's running, and then it cuts to, like, it's dark and it's raining, and she's getting into this truck.
Right.
And this was straight out of, like, you know, like, Ms. 45 or Thriller or Cruel Picture. I thought she was going to kill him. I thought she was... this was before she really talked, so I didn't know she was full, you know...
Bonker?
Ticky, ticky, boom, boom. But, like, I thought that she was going to, like, be like a lady vigilante. Like, I thought he was going to, like, try to sexually assault her and she'd kill him.
Right.
Like, but instead, he's literally, like, somebody from Mayberry... driving it. He's like, he's Forrest Gump. He's like, where are you going? And she's like, anywhere. And she's like, and he's like, I love talking to people. And she's like, is that so? And she's very like, it was her first time acting. I don't think she's bad. I don't think she's good. I think she's doing the best with what she was given. But... this, she's very flat in this scene, and paired up against this guy, it's even worse. Because the character's irritating, but he's doing a good job, or a passable job at it. And they stop at this,
Hotel. Motel, whatever.
Please. Motel, please. Motel. And it has one bed, motel. I'm sure some hotels have one bed.
Yeah.
Not good ones. You know, not the hotels we stay at.
By the hour.
Yeah, by the hour hotels. And he stops here and they sleep. She sleeps on the floor and he sleeps in the bed. And she's like staring at the wall. And this is when I realized she's fucking insane. She's like, don't look at me. I'm not going to take my clothes off. Just roll over. I'm not going to take my clothes off. Like, it was just so like... It's not like it was... It wasn't hammy, but it just, like, from what we'd seen so far, there was nothing to, like, substantiate her, like, solemnity where she's, like, this, you know, beaten character where she's just, like, don't look at me. But she's just Cher. You know, she's I Got You, Babe, right now. She's, and the beat goes on. Like, that's who she is currently. Like, we don't know who this character is. But then we find out it's Chastity. Chastity.
Is that a real name? She renamed herself.
Bull honkies. So that happens, and then we cut to, like, completely new day. We're in a dry area with the voiceover out the wazoo. It is straight out of, you know, A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's absolutely Shakespearean. And, like, the worst parts of Shakespeare, you know, put into a blender with some sleazy writer and some, you know, women's pictures and just blend it on high, and we poured out this fucking bubble and squeak shit. Like, it's just terrible. She's talking, and she's like, my name is Chastity. Chastity, why'd you do that, Chastity? I'm Chastity. Chastity, I'm gonna go walk over here. Okay, Chastity. Like, I think she has multiple personalities. I seriously do. Like, I think that she has the person she was before the sexual assault, and I think she has Chastity, and I think that is how she lives. And when she's depressed, she's the girl before, and when she's Chastity, she's the kind of reborn person. Because you have to imagine that whatever environment that she was in that allowed her to be sexually abused by, like, who was the guy? It was like her mom's boyfriend,
her husband. So it was like her stepfather.
Yeah. You can't imagine that's a good home environment, so I'm sure there was physical and emotional abuse before sexual abuse. Probably. So, like, she has two distinct personalities, and that's why I think she has, like, multiple personalities. Or not, I don't know if multiple personalities, because that is so, like, through media, that's been so, like, schlocky and, like, 70s horror movies. Like, she has two personalities. One loves to fuck and one loves to kill. Like, shit like that. But this is like, she's seriously disturbed.
Yes.
And she walks up to this gas station. And this is almost comedic. And then it's not. It's not like it turns serious, but it's just, it's not funny enough to be comedic.
Right.
It's not serious enough to be a drama. It's not, like, sleazy enough to be an exploitation. Like, I think it has, the whole movie has an emotional crisis it goes through. Where, like, not emotional, tonal crisis. And this is a prime example where of, like, it's basically comedy. Because she walks up to the thing, and she's not, you know, Eileen Wuornos anymore. She's Sigourney Weaver in Heartbreakers, where she's, like, walks up to this guy who she thinks is, like, an easy mark she wants money from. And she's like, hey, I work here. This is my dad's gas station. Can I fill you up? And he's, you know, a pervert jacking off while she's filling
it. Oh, yeah. She said, can I help? He goes, fill it up. And I really like to get a fill up for $6.72.
We can only hope. But she's not really in sexy clothes. And he's, like, looking out his window, like, you know, whistling. Like, he's just this, like,
oh, can you look under the hood?
He's like this cartoon pervert. And this is another thing where I thought she'd kill him. Like, I thought it was, like, gonna be, like, Ms. 45, where, like, every time a man looks at her, she just shoots him, you know? But it's more like, it's almost like a quiet psychological thriller, too. Like, it reminded me of kind of, like, Repulsion, like Roman Polanski. She's,
right.
At the end, she's just in her apartment, like in Repulsion, just walking around drawn on the walls. Like, it's lunacy. So she fills this guy up. I thought she was gonna steal his car, but no. Then she goes out walking again, walking at night, you know, a young woman, a young, very thin, very dainty woman like Cher walking around at night.
She's dainty. She's kind of tall.
How tall is she? Like 6 feet?
No, I'm going to say maybe 5'9", 5'10", look it up.
She's very, but I'm saying she's very thin. Yeah. Like if you came up from behind her and grabbed her, like, you could probably carry her away.
Yeah, but I think she's tall.
Yeah.
I don't know. Google how tall she is. I'm clueless.
I just don't think that 1969 Cher is the most ready for a physical altercation. So she's walking alone in, you know, unfamiliar.
It's hard to say. Maybe she kicked Sonny's ass.
Maybe. Maybe it's like how you wouldn't think Liza Minnelli is crazy, but then you remember that she's Judy Garland's daughter. Cher height. Cher is 5'9".
I said 5'9", 5'10".
She's 5'9". Okay. I mean, I'm not...
Which is above average for women.
I'm short, so I don't... So I could... I. Well, yeah. But, like, I wouldn't be in a place where I'm fighting Cher to begin with, or, like, attacking or trying to kidnap Cher. You may find yourself in a scenario where you have to kick the shit out of Cher. Who do I think would win you?
Thank you.
Well, you... She's so thin, if you punch her, your arm would go through her stomach. Like, she's very... And she's old now, too. She has paper skin. Like, you could kill her.
She's not that much older than I am.
She's,
She's 77.
She's 7 years older than you. Oh, no, I gave out your age.
That's fine. I'm not really worried about it.
So she is loitering outside this restaurant, and she sees, like, this valet, and she's... I thought it was going to be, like, Maniac, where she's just waiting for this guy to get in his car so she could kill him. Like, the whole movie...
You had a thing where you thought she was killing everybody. She didn't kill nobody.
You could recut this movie as a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, like, you could.
Like, you could recut the trailer. You could, like, recut the movie into a trailer as a horror movie. Oh, she's just stalking a guy. And, like, oh, yeah, you could do good with, like, a musical sting. And she just walks through the whorehouse. Just like, I'm going to kill... Like, Richard Speck... Like, I'm gonna kill all these fucking nurses. Like, she's crazy. So she waits for him, and she starts walking. And he's like, hey, pretty lady, where are you going? And she's like...
You need a ride?
And she's like, where are you going? And he's like...
Home.
Anywhere. I mean, home. And she's like, is there a place for a good cup of coffee? And he's like, yeah, 2 blocks down. It would have been slicker for him to be like, yeah, my place. But, you know, I didn't write this. Sonny Bono, I'm sure. You know, she was 16 when she met him. He was 27. Little yikes. A little bit yikes for me.
Yeah. I think at 16, if your mother came home with someone 27, she wouldn't be going out the door.
Oh, he would be... He would never leave. Like, only his soul would remain. Like,
and then we'd be gone too.
Yeah. But she, you know, I don't know how Sonny wooed Cher. Probably through lollipops and, you know, stickers.
Maybe she was a mature 16.
She was. Warren Beatty had sex with her when she was 16.
That's not saying much for Warren Beatty, okay?
Everything I learn about Warren Beatty, I like him less. I really don't like that
He's
man.
Like in his 80s, isn't he?
He's a dick, yeah. But...
I never understood what everyone thought.
Yeah, I don't really think he's, like, the best actor or best director or... I mean, he's handsome, but, like...
I think his sister's way better.
Oh, Shirley MacLaine makes him look like a chump. Like, makes him look like...
I just never understood why everyone...
He's hot. Him. He's hot.
Well, he wasn't my kind of hot, I guess.
No, you were more of a... What was his name? Sal Mineo.
He's gay.
He was not gay. He was bisexual.
Yeah.
He was Sharon Tate's boyfriend, right?
No.
Yes!
No, he was gay.
No, he was not... Who was the guy... He was with some lady. Julie Christie, maybe.
I don't think so.
He was! Because he... got thrown out of a restaurant. I remember reading about this. This is very important for chastity. He was thrown out of a restaurant because she was with Aaron Spelling. And he was pissed because Aaron Spelling was, like, 45 and she was, like, 25. So he, like, went up to them in, like, it was, like, a swanky, like, Beverly Hills restaurant. He went up to them. And he was like, what are you doing here with him? What are you doing here with her? You're fucking old. And then he got thrown out. And then he got killed.
I'll have to...
Look. I think it was Julie Christie. Don't quote me on it.
I will have to look that up because...
I'll look it up right after we're done recording.
Okay, you do that.
So, Cher...
Meets him at the restaurant.
Because he's like, oh, I'll drive you. It's only 2 blocks. She's like, I'll meet you there. And so she...
And then on the way there, oh, Chastity, what are you doing?
Oh, this was the worst part for the...
Is he a lion? Is he an octopus? Is he a bulldog? Maybe he's a lamb.
Ugh. And the thing is, that makes sense if it's in a book, because you can spend 3 pages describing all of the personality types.
Right.
You can't spend 3 pages of dialogue. You can't do that. That's boring shit.
And sometimes boring shit. I told you that Stephen King. I like the miniseries, but...
The miniseries.
The Stand?
Oh, yeah.
But he takes, like, chapters and chapters.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I'm
falling. And you can do that with a book. You can't do that with a visual medium, because...
I know, but it's still boring sometimes.
Yeah. But when you have a visual medium, that's, like, your way of getting people, like, pay attention better. Because you don't need to know how to read to enjoy physical media.
Right.
But you can't have these deep philosophical musings about fucking types of personalities when there's no context for what the personalities are.
You only got 2 blocks to do it in, too.
Yeah. We have 2 blocks, which is probably 20 minutes.
Oh, I can walk 2 blocks faster than 20 minutes.
If she's walking as slow as she was walking, 20 minutes. But she was walking and, like, hanging on trees to talk to herself. And it's not like it's voiceover. She's talking out loud to herself, which makes it another dimension of A, insane, and B, boring. Because it's not like she's walking and thinking and looking. She's walking and talking, and it's like she's in a play. It's like she's doing a soliloquy. So she meets him at this
restaurant,
wood paneled. If I walk into a restaurant and there's wood paneling, I'm leaving. Because they have asbestos. Like, they have...
Well, your favorite place that went by there
today, Pipers?
It was packed.
Oh! With all... Listen.
It was packed. There was not
the
one...
The worst fucking restaurant downriver.
There's not one single parking spot.
It's... The inside is decorated like your blind grandma decorated it. The people who go there are exclusively 55 plus and us.
And us.
We went there once. I got a sandwich that was horrible. It was like, it was basically a Reuben on pumpernickel. And it came, it was like yellow. It was neon yellow. The cheese was like crayon melted on. The mustard was pungent. The meat was horrible. The fries, instead of a side of fries, I was given a slice of cantaloupe. They saw our fat asses walking and said, these motherfuckers need cantaloupe.
They don't get no fries.
We ordered fries, too. They tasted like salad.
I got salad.
I love salad. And they, fries should not taste like salad. They should taste like potato with salt on them.
Yes.
Horrible restaurant. I got Big Piper's vibes from this place. Wood paneling walls. No, what's good here?
And the thing was, when they take the order and they order steak and eggs... She never asked, how do you want your eggs?
Well, listen, that waitress has probably been waitressing since the war, the Great War, the first one. She probably knows how everybody wants their eggs just by looking at them. You know, you're sunny side up. You're over medium. You're...
How do you like your eggs?
Over medium.
That's how your mom likes them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like mine more over easy.
I'd rather have over easy than over hard. Over hard is basically a hot, hard-boiled egg.
And sometimes I like scrambled.
I don't like scrambled with cheese.
I don't like scrambled cheese, but sometimes I like them scrambled because I like to put hot sauce on them.
But this, you're right, this waitress says, Chastity. She doesn't say Chastity, but she looks at Sharon. She's like, how do you want your steak? And she was like, I want it.
No, she ordered steaks and eggs, and she said, oh, and can you make mine well done? She never asked them how they wanted
it. Burnt to a crisp. Well, I'm sure it says on the menu. Like, steak will be cooked to medium, unless otherwise.
No, 69, no fucking way.
Oh, no, it's coming out.
I can't wait to get my steak.
It's coming out how the cook thinks it should come out.
I can't wait to get my steak when we go to dinner.
Oh, God.
Only place I never use salt and pepper. I can't wait.
I'm surprised that this restaurant is not out of salt and pepper. Because, well, first off, we never see the food come. I was a little
disappointed. That's because they were sitting on the street corner or some shit.
I think it was like, I think this was like Birdemic last week where the craft services were by Five and Dime.
7-Eleven.
Yeah, or whatever was the 60s equivalent, Five and Dime.
They had 7-Elevens in the
60s. What?
I'm pretty sure.
But, like, I'm sure Cher was living off, you know...
The Woolworths.
Yeah, the Woolworths counter. Yeah, the
lunch counter.
I'm sure they couldn't afford steak and eggs. for the movie. But this is when it kicks off absolute abysmal editing. Okay, I'm going to take you on a film journey. All right, please, so don't. Everyone okay. Buckle in, fasten your seatbelts. They're walking and talking, and so Cher will ask a question. She'll say, you're a little too old to park cars, right? And he says, it's only a part-time job. I'm working.
I do other things.
I go to school. Cut to a completely different place. Cher says, so what do you go to school for? No.
Because I go to law school.
I go to law school. Cut. They're at somewhere else. So you want to be a lawyer. Okay. What this is telling me, the viewer, is that this is either she does not pay attention and just brings things up from earlier conversation, which may be plausible, but the thing that I was thinking was that they are not talking in between walking to these places because she's crazy. So I can imagine asking Chastity in this movie a question. She's dead silent for an hour. We walk from somewhere else. She starts bringing up the question from an hour ago. Like, I don't remember what we were talking about an hour ago. Like, I can see that happening. But the editing makes it seem like they're... I really hope that these places are a minute within each other. You know, like...
it was like, what?
Like, it just didn't make sense canonically. We're like, they're here now, but they're still talking about the thing they were, you know, 20 minutes ago. And it's like crazy editing. And so she comes back to his house for one of the crazier scenes of the movie where she runs around turning on all the taps and throwing salt and pepper everywhere.
And all the lights.
And she's like, does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Give me the bed. And she asks for the couch. But he gives her the bed.
Yeah, give me a pillow and a blanket.
Because he's so chivalrous. And she wakes up, and this is where, once again, it's a horror movie. She just stands over his sleeping body on the couch. I thought she was going to stab him to death.
That's when she's saying, honey, I'm going out for groceries.
And then proceeds to run down the street.
To the church, because she's religious.
To the church, because remember, she's doing voiceover, and she's like, I've never met anybody like Eddie. That's the valet. I never met anybody like Eddie. He was, like, so hip, but he's also in tune with God. I was like, what the fuck are you riding, Sonny? And so she runs down to the church, and I thought this was going to be, like, a multiple maniacs thing, where in that movie, Divine goes to the church, and she instead has full-blown sex in the pew. You would love this. While Minx Stole recites the Stations of the Cross. Absolutely hilarious. It's not as entertaining. She tries to go to confession.
Well, she's talking to that lady.
Oh, my God.
Because she said, what's going on? I said, oh, they're doing penance from going to confession.
Oh, because I was like, oh, is this a Catholic church? I asked. Because that's the only church we know, you know.
I know other churches,
but... Well, listen. I never met a lying Catholic.
I told you. I was going to go on a spiritual journey this year. But every religion is so fucked up right now that I decided not to.
I have gone on a spiritual journey over the course of this movie, and I've come out even more confirmed that there is no God. He let this movie happen. Capital H, he let this movie happen. Fuck no. He would have smited Sonny the minute he turned the script in. Like, seriously. If God was just, he would have done that. He would have killed him before that tree did. Okay. She talks to this lady. The lady's biggest bitch in the universe. Because Cher is... You can see that lady looked like she's an old church lady.
Yeah.
I know what she smells like. You know, she smells like old Catholic lady. And Cher walks in looking like a cop-out, a drop-out, a burnout. Oh. Looking like a junky lot lizard. And she's just a bitch to her. Cher's like, what's happening? Shh, I'm trying to do my penance. Maybe you shouldn't have sinned. That's all I have to say. Maybe she shouldn't have sinned. Instead, she did. And instead, Cher has to get up and go to confession with the father. But she freaks out in the confession thing because she hears voices.
Are you here? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
And then she runs out, steals that white convertible.
I love something on the stove.
That killed me. That was funny. She's like, I got something on the stove. And she runs out of the booth.
The confessional.
Yeah, the booth. The little confession booth. At the church I had to go to, it was weird. We did not have one of those booths. Did you ever do confession there?
No. You can either look at them or do the screen.
No, Okay, preface. I never was skeeved out by my priest. So, like, I wasn't worried about going into, a space with only him. Because he's, 86 years old. 90. Can't fucking see.
Can't hear either.
Can't hear.
But he sure can talk.
Listen, they say that the mass ends at 11:30. That motherfucker goes on to 12. Like, he talks and talks and talks.
Or sometimes.
He's a good man.
Going M1.
He's a good man. But,
yes,
you know.
He's long-winded.
Yes. It was just like him in a chair, me in a chair. Just looking at him.
Oh, really? No, I never did confession that one.
No, I would never do it like
that
ever.
You know, I might as well, because I told you when I used to go to confession, I used to get the same damn priest, and then you'd say, forgive
Father
me,
Father. Father Wykowski.
No, I used to get Father Leary. You know, you do the thing, forgive me, Father Ryerson. Kathy, is that you?
Dude,
it's supposed to be confessions, not supposed to say, is that you? You're not supposed to know who in the fuck I am.
Oh, you had the two stereotype Catholic priests. You had the Irish priest and the Polack priest.
Huh.
Oh, perfect.
And I remember I got married, Father Leary goes, and what's your name again? I've been going here forever and you don't know my name.
Well, Father Wygowski was the one who was interested in you.
No, I was not interested in him.
God, that guy. Listen back to, was that Sleepaway Camp when we talked about him with Suti? Yeah. That episode is unhinged. Go into it knowing that was the one I made the watermelon drink where you could not taste the liquor.
Right.
It was just pureed watermelon, tahine, lime juice, and vodka. Yeah. Vodka. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yes.
But she runs away. She steals this convertible. Drives to Mexico. This is where it turns into Bring Me the Head of Sonny Bono. It turns into like a Sam Peckinpah Mexican, reflection on the culture. But also, it's scummy and, she's a whore. And she's, in a whorehouse with all these other whores. And there's a scene that is directly out of a Peckinpah where she walks into the whorehouse. And it's just all the prostitutes turn and look at her.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of a cool shot. But, all of them. And there's so many.
They were probably the ugliest whores I've ever seen in my life.
They really went.
They were bad.
This was like the Bond girl cast-offs. Like,
not
she's,
even Bond girl cast-off.
I don't know, what the 60s equivalent of, TV movie, extras were.
I don't know if we had TV movies.
That's so weird, because they had, TV movies in the 70s, and I was going through Linda Day George's filmography to find some more movies with her in it. Because, she is kind of, part of the Holy Trinity of this podcast. It's her, Rudy Ray Moore, and probably Tommy Wiseau. But she is in tons of shitty TV movies from the 70s. One we're watching this summer when it gets more baseball culture. Because, baseball season's happening now, but, it doesn't, it's not like baseball time until, summer. Murder at the World Series.
Shit.
She's the main character. She has to solve a murder at the World Series.
Okay.
I don't know, baseball shit. I was going to make a pun. Fuck. She strikes out the killer.
Does she hit a home run?
The TV movie is a home run.
Or is it a grand slam?
She grand slams Christopher George on camera. I don't want to see that.
Anyhow.
Anyway.
But they were not good-looking whores.
Oh, my God. Oh, please, sex workers. If we learned anything from the sleepaway camp.
I'm telling you, Shirley and Laverne look better than them.
Oh, the Golden Girls passed as prostitutes better than these women.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be that kind of girl, but I'm going to sound like that kind of girl. Severe error, severe lapse in judgment by the casting director, because they needed to find, I don't think it's that hard to drum up, 15 mildly pretty girls in the 60s who want to go into a movie. Right. And, oh, Sonny Bono wrote it and Cher's in it? Sure, I'll do it. Like, you could find 10 wannabe Sharon Tates on the street on Hollywood Boulevard. Like,
right.
You don't need to cast, like, they might be actual prostitutes. Like, they look like down on their luck, you know. One of them looked like, who?
Oprah Winfrey from The Color Purple.
I thought one was actually Aretha Franklin, who time traveled back from 2000 from P. Diddy's White Party. Like,
they were not good looking.
But you have to credit the casting director. They have every single prostitute color of the rainbow. Yes. They have some, like, white ladies, like, pretty, dainty, like, blonde white girls. They have very overweight black women. They have, like, dainty Mexican girls. All of these people. She meets, she ends up at the whorehouse because she goes on the street. She reports the car she stole as stolen. And she meets this guy. She tries to buy some weed from him. And she's like, oh, are you a pimp? Weird question to ask. I'm going to have to start adding that into my vernacular.
Yeah, because she said, oh, that guy walking by this way, do you want to screw my sister?
I think her sister may be her other personality.
Maybe. What'd she say?
It was very, you know, out-of-towners, like, who's the broad in that? Jack Lemmon and the girl from Bob Newhart Show. What's her name? No, it's not. It's Sandy Dennis.
Right.
You know, like, very, you know, Midwestern couple on vacation in Cancun.
They weren't in Cancun.
No, this was Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, Mexico. This is, there are constantly flies. There are men trying to get a severed head.
They said it was Phoenix. She called Phoenix. There is a boarding crossing by Tucson, but I can't think of the name of the town you go into.
It's probably that one, though, right? This is coming from someone who has probably been to that town with her mother, who lived in Tucson.
Yes. And your grandfather.
With a beautiful man.
No, but...
Anyway, that's an episode. That's a discussion for... Oh, we have to bring him up and when we watch Man of the House with Chevy Chase.
Oh, he's got a crooked dick, too?
Yes! you didn't know?
Don't care, I don't like him.
Ugh, I hate Chevy Chase.
So do I.
Anyway, she meets this guy and she's like, oh, are you a pimp? I'm Chastity. And he's like, yeah, I'm a pimp. Come with me to my whorehouse.
No, she doesn't tell her name because when they get to the whorehouse, he goes, and what's your name?
Oh, yeah. That happens 10 times in this movie.
She never tells anybody
her name, but as soon as they ask, she has a 10-minute discussion about, my name's Chastity. That's not really my name. I chose it for myself because I thought it reflected myself better. I opened up the dictionary. When I got to see, I saw Chastity, and it said, oh, this is an expression of abstinence. And I didn't know what that meant, so I went back to A and read abstinence. It's a suppression of desire. Like, it's this whole shit. It's just absolutely insufferable. So this turned into, like, basically a porn. And not, like, in a sexy way, but, like, the premise of a porn.
Right.
She pulls this guy who's...
Kid.
Who's conservatively, you know, maybe at most 17 years old.
Maybe.
Great job, Sonny. And she's like, in so many words, she's like, you want to fuck me? I'll fuck you. But you want the special.
Yeah. Oh, you want the whole world?
Listen, I said this to you, but this boy does not know her. The viewers, we know her. But to this boy, she's just a whore at a Mexican whorehouse. Never will I ever accept anything called the special. From a whore in a Mexican whorehouse.
The whole world.
Well, at first he agrees to the special.
And then he went for the whole world.
I'd take the whole world over the special. The special sounds like she takes out her dentures for it. Like, that special sounds horrible.
And the whole world sounds
She makes funny. Him strip down, dunks his head in ice water, then leaves.
Well, she washes his hair and leaves soap in it.
This is why I think she's manic. Because, like, she...
I'm not gonna have sex with the dirty John.
She doesn't come back, but if she did, she probably wouldn't remember doing that. Like, she's seriously disturbed. But she's called out of the room she walks out of the room to go get some towels, and she runs into the pimp, and he's like, oh, I have somebody who wants to see you. This is when it turns into a James Bond film. She basically turns around, the lesbian basically turns around in her chair. Yeah. And it's like, so, you want a job at my whorehouse? Get on your knees, girl.
Not really, but that's okay.
You're kidding. She's like Joan Crawford and Johnny Guitar. She's even wearing the same green duds.
Yeah, that was ugly. Ugh.
No, she's more like, did you ever see Walk on the Wild Side with Barbara Stanwyck and Jane Fonda? And
yes.
She's like Barbara Stanwyck in that, where she's like, I'm running this whorehouse. You know, like, she's very gruff and like, you know, I smoke cigarettes and eat bolts for breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm wearing pants. I'm a lesbian. And she's basically that character. We get like a montage of like them shopping and them in the park and they're, you know, and then there's like a kind of hint at there's a sex scene, and then they're back at the park and Cher's barefoot and she's like tiptoeing and she's like, and the lady's like, are you thinking, like, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about you right now. And Cher's like, I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about if it hurts when you pick a flower. I'm thinking about,
do they cry?
Do they cry when you pull their stem? I'm thinking about what my toes do. It's like a slam poem she's delivering. And I'm like, Cher, level with me, Cher. What the fuck? Like, what? I don't know what happened with this. Because, like,
I don't know.
Did she do nothing for the next 18 years but, like, take acting classes? Because she came back with Silkwood and was nominated for, like, I think she got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yes.
And then her next film, she was in Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean, which, like, directed by Robert Altman, who's no slouch, like, considered one of the greatest American filmmakers of all time. Then she's in Moonstruck and wins Best Actress. 3 movies ago, she's in Chastity. Walking around with her nipples out.
She dumped Sonny.
Listen, best thing that ever happened to her, I bet. No, seriously, I bet he was dragging her down.
Because
he's a C-list celebrity at best. He's 2 bits.
Well, I'm sure after they broke up, because people wanted her, not him.
Yeah, because she's more talented.
Like Ike and Tina. They wanted Tina, not Ike.
Oh, God, I love Tina Turner so much. I wish she did a shitty movie like this so we could cover it. No, seriously, I wish she and Ike had a horrible movie together that we could cover and just rip Ike Turner to shreds for an hour and 20 minutes. But, you know, it's in the past. They both dead.
Yeah.
So she, she goes home with the lesbian character, this Diane. Diana or Diane? Diana.
Diana, I don't know. Diana. They never really called her anything.
They might as well. They call her the word that we don't use to call lesbians. Cher calls her that. So there's like a sex scene.
You don't really see anything.
It's weird.
See her touching her eyelashes and her face.
It's weirder.
And then she's talking again.
It's weirder than if it was a sex scene because it feels more like parental.
I think I could have taken a sex scene other than her talking through this shit.
And that's what that reviewer was saying. Yeah, that's what that reviewer was saying. That was instead of taking the... No, that's not what the reviewer said. I was reading a review of the movie that I didn't read on the show, but I was reading it. Instead of making it like an actual self-discovery thing, like, I like women, it makes it into, like, she's a surrogate for her mom. And that's why she's... Right. It's it just makes lesbians seem like fucking scumbags. It's what it does. And I don't really think they needed the bad publicity in 1969. Like, no. They did not need it.
No.
But we got it. Thanks, Sonny.
Well, I think back in 69, a lot of...
Coming from someone who was there.
A lot of gay people did not come out and say, hey, you know, I like men. They just didn't because of
the stigmas, you know.
Right. So they didn't. So.
And it hurts that, like, watching back movies from that time, all the gay characters, up until, like, the early 70s, most gay characters in movies are villains. Right. You know, and that's just.
I have gay friends that, like, in the 80s. I would not say that they were.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, there's so many people in the community who, you know, should still be here and are not, you know, like...
Oh, and I would be like, it's okay. I'm not judging you, but
yeah.
They would not say that they were.
Yeah. So, it's just icky to see, because, like, even, I always thought in Johnny Guitar that, like, thinking about it, like, I think Johnny's gay.
Oh, really?
I don't really think he's with Joan. Or, like, I think in a lot of Westerns that they're gay. Like, I was talking about this before. I watched Ride the High Country with Randolph Scott.
Well, you said with...
Who? Who was gay in that?
The actor... When he was dead in the stagecoach.
Oh, yeah, they, yeah.
And that other guy comes and said he quits.
Yeah.
Because he liked him.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Shit. I literally watched Tombstone 2 days ago. Yes.
Billy Zane and Jason Priestley.
Yeah. But in, like, Ride the High Country, they are gay. They are, Randolph Scott and Joel McRae were boyfriends. And they, like, ran into each other and... One of them is not nice anymore and evil. And then at the end, spoilers for a movie that came out 62 years ago, but Joel McRae's dying. And they just, like, embrace in front of a mountain. And he's like, oh, my God, I started crying. It was so sad. Like, it was horrible. I was like, oh, it was terrible. It's these two old gay guys, one's dying. It's horrible. And, you know... I mean, that was a sympathetic portrayal of somebody who was probably gay. But this, she's lesbian. So she has to be, you know, she's not just lesbian. She's butch lesbian. She might as well be wearing assless leather chaps and smoking a cigarette with a mullet. Like, she's that much.
There's a lot of gay actors and people, so...
Yeah, I know, but, like, they weren't... Nobody, even people who were gay back then, were not advocating for accurate portrayals of gay people in film. And that's something I, like, it hurts to see. And as somebody who likes film a lot.
But I'm sure they didn't do it because they didn't want their career hurt them to be outcast. I mean, Lily Tomlin's gay, and back when she was doing Rowan and Martin's Laughing, I'm pretty sure she didn't tell anyone she was gay.
Yeah.
Even though she's been with their partner for 50-some years.
Yeah. Well, but this character in specific is just so offensive.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go out as somebody who has issues with one of their parents. I'm not going to go out and find a guy who's 10 years older than me and fuck his brains out and be like, oh my God, he's just like my dad. Like, I'm not doing that. You know, like, that's basically what Sonny Bono's implying. And because I know the writer and I know he's an asshole... I'm going straight for the jugular on this dick because he's out here being like, oh, she's a lesbian. He probably wouldn't have said lesbian. He probably would have said the word we don't say. She's a lesbian. So, you know, she's obviously enchanting and indoctrinating my young, beautiful wife who has issues with her mother. So she's finding it's just horrible that they went out here like this is acceptable. And, I mean, sorry for my grandstand about that, but she's basically should be played by, you know, who's Butch? Who's, like, a Butch? She basically should be, like, Katharine Hepburn and, you know, pants up to her tits, smoking a cigarette, being like, I want you, and I'm your mother. You know, like, very, like, it was just so out there, like, what the fuck?
Right.
And so Cher leaves her, goes home, comes home. The only genuinely funny moment of the movie, she comes home with groceries, and she's like, I got the groceries.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
And then, where'd she find those groceries? I bet she sucked a guy off for the groceries, personally.
Well, she got that money when she was in the whorehouse from that guy. That kid kept giving her money.
Oh, yeah, she hustled him. Yeah. Because this movie doesn't know if it wants to be, like, an exploitation or, like, adventure, like, comedy or... like a drama, because the adventure comedy part is her. She's a hustler. She's, you know, hustling people. She's like Sigourney Weaver and Hustlers, and mixed with, you know, Paul Newman and the Hustler. She's like crafty, and, you know, and then the other side of it is she's Madeline in Thriller, A Cruel Picture, getting raped by her grandpa, and, like, horrible things are happening to her. Then, on the other side of it, it's a drama. She's Jodie Foster in The Accused, and she's, like, this quiet girl. Like, it's... Yeah. So, it's these, they don't match.
No.
But it comes home, and it's, like, it's a dramedy, and she's, you know, she's, like, crying, and she's like, I got the groceries. And, you know...
He lets her in.
He lets her in. She comes home to Eddie's place.
Never see you again.
Then we get the biggest bombshell of the movie. It's been 2 fucking days. It's been 2 days. She fell in love with a lesbian, broke up with her, was a prostitute, stole a car, went to confession.
Now she's back at it.
She's back with groceries.
And she's going to rename
She says, you know, I chose my name. I'm going to rename you. I christen you Andre. I do think Andre fits him better than Eddie. He has a little Slavic look to him. You can take that however you want. His eyes are a little too close together. Andre. coming from two poles, we can spot him. He had a little Andre look to him, you know. Yeah. Eddie, I think of, maybe just because of the role, but, like, I think of, like, someone look like Meatloaf. Like, because he's Eddie in Rocky Horror. Like, you know, I thought Meatloaf is a good, like, looking Eddie. Where he's, like, you know.
Or Eddie Haskell from The Beaver.
Mm-mm. More like Eddie, not even Eddie Murphy, gives me, like, Eddie vibes. He has the mischievousness of an Eddie, which Meatloaf also has a mischievous thing about him. But he does have more of an Andre look about him. But here's the other weird thing about this scene. She turns out all the lights. So maybe this is context. Subtext, please. Of how her emotions are. Because when she's manic, she has all the lights on. But when she's quiet and remorseful, no lights.
Maybe
that's a sign. Or maybe it's just bullshit. And I think it was bullshit. I think it's me reading
she
into
goes
it.
To bed. Well, she takes off Fuller. We see.
Mm-mm. Yeah, she gives him. Calls him Andre. She's like, "Let's go to bed." And he's wearing this weird, like, sheet as a toga. It's like this crazy scene. And she goes to bed. And this was the only part of the movie where you could see Cher as a good actress come through, because she's fine up until now, but she's actually good. Like, if I wasn't watching this for Why Are We Doing This, I would get, like, a little, like, emotional. Because she's, like, just laying on her back, just looking at the ceiling. And he has his arm, like, around her. And he's a schmuck. I don't like Andre. But she's, like, don't touch me. Just lay here with me. Don't touch me. And it was, like, very solemn. And I thought she did a very good job. And then she just gets up and looks at the wall. And that was very, like... You could see that in, like, a Fassbender movie where it's just, like in, it's just something very solemn, Fassbender, Carell vibes. Just very, like, sex is a business vibe where, like, that's where it came in Eileen Wuornos hard for me. Like, that and the... Because isn't it hinted at that Eileen Wuornos was a prostitute with men for money but was, like, with a woman... personally.
Yes.
So, like, maybe that was, like, a...
Right.
You know. So then, I wish it ended right there, because that would have been a very good ending, and I would have given this a better rating. Instead, it's the next morning, and she's like, I'm gonna try and be a housewife.
I'm a housewife today, because she said she was gonna cook and clean it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck she made for breakfast, so I wouldn't eat that shit either.
Holy Lord. It looks like a mixture of raw bacon and burnt ends. And then he's like, I gotta go to law school. Dressed like John Holmes. Like, seriously, he's in these, like, super tight jeans and this...
They weren't jeans, they were, like...
They were jeans!
They were, like, gold-colored pants, and he had a shirt that matched it.
I could have swore they were blue jeans. But he's in, like...
he had, like, beige pants.
Oh, beige!
And that yellow...
That yellow shirt with, like, brown five belt. Buttons on...
And the brown belt.
The brown belt. Like, he's going to shoot something at Sugarland with, you know... Like, with Linda Lovelace. Like, he's going to do Deep Throat 2.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a mustache. So
he does not have the face for porn. He has the outfit for porn, though. He looks like, you know, Harry Reams. He raided Harry Reams' closet. But he leaves. Then it turns into Repulsion, where she's losing her mind, writing on the walls.
Because she keeps hearing their voices.
This was actually kind of disturbing and very... Like,
you told me to take her to the park.
That's another, like...
Then, why are you doing that to her? I told you to be nice to her.
And then there's a line that's...
I was swinging her on the swing. I mean, and then she's writing on the wall.
There's a line that it gets... It's, like, almost disturbing. And it's a little disturbing. And then there's a line that is just so ludicrous that it takes everything out from, like, the previous buildup of tension of, like, why are you doing that to my daughter? You're sick. I wanted her to go to the park, not get molested. Which sounds like it's a John Waters line who's supposed to be spoken by Divine. And, you know, and Polyester, she comes out with all the reporters. She's like, right. I just wanted to go to the park, not get molested. Like, right. Something very camp like that. Instead, it's supposed to be, like, a heartfelt thing where, like, I don't feel like that.
No.
And so she writes on the wall, bolts out the door, starts walking, drops her coat along the way. She's had like a purse. It's like a bag.
Right.
A leather bag, her jacket, a like Merlot colored halter top, and brown pants. Right. I can't tell if they're jean material, or corduroy,
whatever.
Leather pant. Like they're just brown pants. And so she's walking on the side of the road, and this is where it turns into like the prequel to Monster with Charlize Theron. She's just like banging her head into a telephone pole and sobbing, and this trucker pulls up who may as well have been the Green River Killer. That man looks like he has women tied up in the back of the semi. He looks over, he has a cigar, so you know that means he's a villain in a 60s movie, and he's like, you want a ride, baby? And she just keeps like sobbing, and he drives away, and then we just zoom out, and that's the end.
No, he was there, and then she walks in the middle of the street and kneels.
Oh, yeah!
And kneels down in the middle of the street. And then it's like blood splattering on the screen.
So we can assume that she...
got hit by a car.
Yeah. Yeah. God, like, talking about... watching it was stupid. Talking about it's actually depressing. Like, it's actually really sad. Also, because it's Cher. Sorry, this wasn't really, like, a fun, lively Cher episode. But, you know... Okay. Hey, that was Chastity. What did you give this as a post rating?
Minus quadrillion. I did not like it at all.
From a 0, I gave it a -2.
Because you're more of a Cher
fan. I'm a Cher fan. Also, I'm more inclined to overlook some of it because it's Cher. But this needs to either be adapted for stage, because I think it could honestly be a moving stage production. Right. Or... get a remake with a more, and I'm not a remake person, but this could get a remake with a more sensitive tone towards child abuse, sexual abuse, basically everything that's covered in this movie needs a more sensitive, and I'm not a sensitive girl.
No, you're not.
But I was even like, what the fuck? Like,
no kidding.
She got molested. Have some GD respect. But whatever. If you liked this movie, you should be committed. If you liked our retelling of the movie, you are...
probably be committed.
You should... no. You should give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, on CastBox, on Spotify. Rate and review there. You can follow us on Instagram. That's Y period R period We period doing period this. And on Threads. I don't post on Threads. I post on Instagram, so follow us there. You can send us an email at whyarewedoingthispodcast1@gmail.com. That's where you can send us requests or you can send us suggestions of what we can do better or what we should stop doing. You can send us movie requests that we haven't seen yet. I would just like to ask that if you do send us a movie request, please check out our catalog and not send a movie that we watched like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, don't be like, watch Burlesque because we watched this. We watched that for episode 20. Yeah. Way back when
we were babies.
When we were little babies. Next week, I'm not sure what we're going to watch next week. There's no doubt it'll be better. I'm hoping we can finally get the schlocky horror movie in, so like maybe Deadly Spawn, which is just Tremors, but in the 80s.
That's okay, because in 3 years of watching movies with you,
yeah,
I've only had a couple surprises that I actually...
You've had, probably had about, you could count them on your hands, yes, about the movies you liked.
Yes.
I have liked a lot more. I'm more lenient. I'm yes, good cop, you're bad cop.
Of course.
But, you know.
Because you look for different things in movies.
Yeah. But, you know, film's subjective, and, you know.
It is.
If you liked our movie, tell the world about it. Like we said, rate and review. Until then, I'm Lucas Guzman.
I'm Kathy Wright.
And we'll see you next week.